Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. And in true show fashion, we are moving on the fly, trying to get up and going and rocking and rolling with the show. So if you give me just a few seconds, and I will be bringing my co-host up and on board with me here in just a few seconds. But let me get logged into the system. Today has been one of those crazy, crazy, crazy days. And we have been running our feet since we hit the ground. We have been running continuously all day today. But I'm looking forward to tonight's show. We're going to have our good friend on with us as well, Daryl from Duronco Services. So he and Chuck Snow and myself, we're going to get at this thing here in just a few seconds if the system will allow me to get in so that I can see everyone and bring everyone up and on board. But in the meantime, while I'm doing that, I want everyone to know that if you would like to participate in the show, all you have to do is press the number one. That puts you in the call screen as queue, and we will try to mix you in as quickly as we possibly can. And with that being said, I do believe I'm going out of order a little bit here. I do believe that this is Mr. Chuck Snow that I'm grabbing. Chuck, is that you?
You got him. How are you, Rico?
Man, I tell you, Chuck, in true show fashion, we are running. We're burning the candle on both ends, and we're trying to get some things accomplished. But
I know.
But I tell you what,
I know what it's like.
We are making it happen.
You know, sometimes it just takes longer to do things than we think it's going to take. It never fails.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that 100%. But while I got you in, while I'm sitting here for a few seconds, I seen Daryl in the queue as well. So just be patient, Daryl. We're going to get to you in just a few seconds. I'm going to read off the trend lines report really quickly. Then we'll grab Daryl and we're doing this thing on the fly on the roads.
Okay.
So if you hear a little road noise or some horns blowing, don't pay it no attention. We got it all good on this. But we're showing that the national average price of diesel fuel has went up by 1.4 percentage points. So we're showing that the national average price of diesel fuel is sitting at $3.66 per gallon. Truckload rates began the year 54 cents higher per mile than the previous year. Load post activity on DAT load boards is extraordinary for the first full shipping week of the year, 80% higher than the same time last year and 6% higher than the week after the 2021 polar vortex. In contrast, the volume of carriers looking for loads and posting their trucks on DAT load boards was at its lowest in 4 years, 7% lower than week two in 2021. And so with that being said, let's take a look at each segment type really quickly and see how those were performing. We're going to start off with the dry van portion of the rates, and we're showing that coming out of the Northeastern corridor, we're showing that the average price per mile on dry vans averages now at $272. Coming out of the Mid-Atlantic and Southeastern states, we're showing that the national average price per mile is moving at $284. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing that average price checks in at $326. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing that the average price per mile for dry vans at $275, and coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that the average price per mile is $342. Shifting gears and jumping over to the flatbed portion of the report, starting out in the Northeastern corridor, we're showing that average coming out of the Northeast is at 304 for flatbeds. Moving out of the Mid-Atlantic and Southeastern states, we're showing that the average price per mile is at 316. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing the average price per mile for spot on the spot market for flatbeds at 334. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing that the average is at 297. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that that average is at 289. Shifting gears and jumping over to the temperature controlled or reefer portion of the report, starting out in the Northeast, we're showing that the average price per mile moving out of the Northeast is at 307. Coming down to the Southeast, we're showing that that national average price is at 305. The average out of the Midwest for reefers is at 384. Dropping down to the South Central region, we're showing that that average is at 338. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that the average for reefers is at 386. So now, with all of that being said and done, let's grab our good friend. I'm hoping that this is Darryl. We're taking a chance. I believe it is. Darryl, is that you?
Good evening, Rico. Good evening, Chuck. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, buddy. Well, thanks for joining us.
We appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
It's a big honor. So
we want to pick your brain, buddy.
I'm gonna let you, Chuck, set the show up because you kind of quarterback this whole thing, and I'm still gonna be here. But like I said, I'm moving around a little bit, but I'm still gonna be here, and I'm definitely gonna jump in with questions because I'm in the process of trying to. Me and Darryl got a little stuff that we gotta kind of catch up on with offline. So, but I'm definitely here, and I'm listening in. So I'm gonna let you turn it over to you, Chuck, and away we go.
Well, you know, Darryl, I've got to congratulate you first of all. In the last 3 years, you've moved over 475 shipments for Traffix with a 99% accuracy rate. So, congratulations!
Damn.
You've done a great job, man. You really have.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, and I wanted to get you on here because I think you can tell our listeners, both the certainly the listeners that we have that are brokers, what you do, and the brokers and the carriers that we have, whether it's one truck or 50 trucks, what you do, how you did it. You've built an amazing business in a few years. You know, I think it was, 3 or 4 years ago that we met over in Council Bluffs, Iowa. And even at that time, you were keen, you were passionate, you were there, and I guess I can say it, you were at the CMC, which Kevin Rutherford put on, and you were there to learn, and I was there to teach, and we hit it off. And since then, you have built one hell of a great business. And you've done it all on your own, man. Congratulations. Durenco Specialized, for our listeners that don't know Darryl, although he's on the show frequently, but we never get him one-on-one. We've got to share him with other people. So Rico and I thought it was high time we get Darryl on and we get him to maybe share some of the secret sauce. Now, I know that the two main ingredients to your success has been your hard work and your passion. There's no two doubts about it. But the other things that you did, you built a great business moving parcel freight from Ontario, Canada, Southern Ontario, into the Pacific Northwest for the most part. How did you get into that, of all things? Like every region in the United States, let's start just so our listeners can hear the story, because I think it's a true what they call a Horatio Alger story. It really is. You've done so well with this.
Kind of funny. You know, I was running for different companies, and then it would be, do the math correctly, I'm feeling old now, over 25 years ago, I hooked up with West Air Transportation out of Cambridge and started running the Northwest. I was still pretty young and still cowboy-like and started running that area. And I'd run California before, and I kind of fell in love with Seattle. And, you know, when I first decided to go it on my own, I wanted to pick a lane. We might jump a little bit all over the place, but that's, I think, one of our success marks is I realized real quick with Kevin Rutherford's help, your help, and my great wife's help, that I cannot be all to everybody. So I decided, I didn't know if I was going to make it past one truck, to be honest. It was a challenge. And I said, you know what, I'm going to pick BC, Washington, and Oregon, and I'm going to build the lane. I had an insight in the lane, knowing that West Air had been up to 22 trucks, and, you know, he could have went further. It was his choice how he ran his business. So my goal was to get the 22 trucks in that area before I attempted any other lane. And, you know, we've been up, we've been down. We're sitting currently at 18 now with the trucks I bought and the trucks I just put on. So we're back up to 18. And it's from just doing the hard work myself, knowing the area, liking the area, realizing that the market's there, and not listening to anybody else. You know, the first decision I made was I wanted to learn. That was step one. Like, I didn't want to be a driver anymore. I wanted to be an industry partner. So I decided to learn, and Kevin Rutherford was a huge part of that. I owe a lot of that gratitude to Mr. Rutherford for his program, getting on his accounting, learning his fuel economy. The CMC was the change for me. I just didn't have 100% belief. I remember going there and thinking I was a weirdo, and I got to meet 500 plus other people that was like me. I had the time to learn. I had a great meeting with you, showed you our numbers. I'll tell you, when I left Iowa, I shut the door in the car, and just so anyone knows, I'm an emotional person, so it's this is my lifetime dream that I've succeeded to. So it's a lot to me. I shut the door and said to my wife, we're doing it. And I come home and I started doing my own authorities, getting my own insurance together. And I learned something from you and Kenny Long. Don't go with these providers that do everything for you. I decided to learn and do every single step from A to B myself. So I knew exactly what I was doing, how to do it, and I had a good understanding. So there was still quite a bit of time before July of 2016 to get set up. The biggest next step was a lot of people and a lot of drivers talk and a lot of brokers talk on the road. And they're all entitled to their opinion, and I think their opinions are right for them. But I listened to all these drivers and all these single owner operators at their own authorities always talking about money. Money, 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 money. Pay more, pay more, pay more. And I thought, you know what? No one ever thinks about service. Maybe I should sit down and think about how to develop service first, figure out the rates I need to make a small, decent profit. And once the service comes, then we can discuss profit and, you know, getting a little more. So you have to make a choice. Start knocking on doors or start making phone calls. My decision to partner with brokers such as Traffic, C.H. Robinson, Traffic Tech, you know, I got small one like Strider out of Pickering, was one of my best decisions. It was a game changer for me. Because now I'm not competing with you. I'm not competing with everyone. I could sit down and focus on service and getting the job done and figuring out all the issues with the trucking part. I didn't have to figure out how to appease 10 different personalities at a dock to get in to get the freight. So, you know, I took what I felt was my strengths and I ran with it. And to this day, we're still doing it. I have no desire to get into direct shippers. It will happen probably over the years. But I like working with the brokers. And my goal was not, how much money can I take from the broker? That's was never my thing.
Right.
My attitude was, how can I service this guy or girl to make them a superstar in their customers' eyes so when they have a problem, they look like the hero? I'll sit in the background. I'll just do the job. That's what I thought, and that's how I based my business and built my business in the last almost 6 years, this July, is I'm in the service business. I have to serve. I have to solve the problems. You know, when you're trying to chase down your customers, you're trying to chase this down, you're trying to chase loads, you're going to fail. And when you try to go from, like, there's guys that run the market, they start in San Diego, go to Florida, and come back. I just didn't see the sense in that model. I like the lane. Build the lane, get the problems. Yeah. There's high times of the lane, there's low times of the lane. Can solve pretty much any problem going to Seattle. I've built a great network. So that's kind of started how I started and the steps I took.
Great story. Now, let me ask you something. So your trucks are going to Seattle, and they're loaded with X number of drops, because some of our listeners are, especially on the carrier side, are really gun-shy at this whole thing, because for the most part, it's done every day of the week up in Canada. It's not a real common. There are LTL carriers in the U.S., and, you know, there's YRC, and there's R&L, and a whole bunch of other ones, ABF, and they all do a wonderful job, XPO. But their main business is they want one or two skids that are really light. That's a perfect freight. They don't want a 5 or 10,000-pound shipment, which is your market. So if
Correct.
You have a truck going to Seattle, where would your first delivery be? You leave southern Ontario, the Toronto area, and for our listeners that aren't geographically familiar, it's about 100 miles north of Buffalo, New York. Best way to describe it. Northwest of Buffalo.
So normally, one of my customers we've set up, we actually start delivering in Fargo, North Dakota.
Okay.
On Sunday. And we have a great relationship. We actually have access to the building. We deliver it for her, sign the bills, and carry on. She's not even there. We just call and let her know when we're going to be there and everything, and we move on. Our next major deliveries are Billings, Bozeman, Belgrade. Along with the deliveries, the other important part is I realize that I can't do all the deliveries myself. So
because you run out of hours. Yeah.
Right, out of hours, and sometimes it's not worth it. With Mr. Rutherford's help with his program, I found out what true cost was to running my truck, so I knew what it was costing me to run my truck. So I could take a shipment that someone was struggling to get to Kalispell, Montana, and I did the work. And tell you, I got a lot of phone calls and lots of talks, and a lot of people said, yeah, not interested. And then you hook into someone who is interested, and you develop partner carriers. So we drop in Missoula. I saved this 4.5 to 6 hours, depending on the weather, up to Kalispell back and backing in some guy's driveway to deliver closet organizers. But we made the deal. And then I go back and I discuss with my partner the cost of having that done. And, you know, I charge them for the cost, but I also put the factor that I'm saving money too. So there's
you're not
a lot of work.
All the way north to Kalispell. Yeah.
That's right. And then, you know, you can get a lot of drops done because, you know, we've went out with 40 deliveries in a trailer. You know, we're not shy. Sometimes guys get lucky and they go with five. On average, my guys are doing 60 picks and drops per trip. So we have to have partners. We really do.
Right.
So it's, once again, back to service. What do you have to do to make the customer happy? You know, you've known this talk all your life, especially being a driver yourself, in the days where people are always complaining about the brokers taking too much. You know, the joke about cheap and heavy. CCH Robinson, cheap and heavy. You know, when I started hauling for them, it was pretty cheap. But I worked on my service. You know, they don't question anything I ask for now because they know they're going to get the service.
Listen, they need stuff done, and they're willing to pay, just like anybody else.
So the other important part of my success has been the fact that I wanted to start Drunko with integrity and honesty. With being at West Air, I had known every single carrier, every single shipment that went in that area. I'd hauled them all for 17 years. I had all the customers, I had all the phone numbers, I had all the contacts. I had a choice. I could have went and knocked on everybody's door and backdoored every one of the brokers and did a direct. Like I said, I had to ask myself some really deep questions on how I wanted to move forward and what kind of person I wanted to be in this industry. What I chose to do was a little deceptive at the start. My first dispatcher was my son, and he would start calling people that I told him to call when I sat on the link so that I had the load link up and we were calling them. I knew what I was hauling. He knew exactly what rate to give them to get. We would do three shipments, let them know our service, and then I would call. And I would tell them who I am. They were glad to hear that I was back in the game. I never really left it. They were happy to be working with me. And I explained to them why I had done what I had done. I could have went direct to their customer and took it. That's not what this business is about. This is not how you build relationships.
No,
I wanted
exactly.
to have integrity.
And I think it's funny. It's something that a lot of people don't realize. When you go and backdoor a broker, usually those relationships, now you have customers out there and brokers have them, carriers have them, that are totally transactional. And we had lots of them when we were smaller. These days we actually shy away from them because they're more work than they're worth. So those customers that shop around to get the cheapest rate today, and they have five brokers looking for a truck, let them go to the other five. Do not call me. Okay, I don't want to waste our time. I don't want to waste our people's time. But the other customers who are they're relationship-based, you may be doing work going to Seattle and Portland, but there's a whole lot of other freight that's going, to all the other areas. And all that customer wants to do is make one phone call to one broker or download a whole bunch of loads and say, here, that's my shipping schedule for the week. Get it moved. I have to make widgets. I'm too busy. And that's what happens more often than not on the good ones. So I think you did your company and yourself a huge favor in the end by doing what you did. And your integrity, I think, really paid off. And I think that's certainly, I know your integrity. You and I have spent enough time together in the last, 6 years or so. And that's why you're successful, I think. It's one of the many reasons.
I think it has a lot to do with our success. I think the other thing is it's not really me. It's the people. I've got great people, and not all of them are transportation related. I made the decision, once again, you have to make decisions in this business. So I need an operations manager. What's my choices? Go out and flood the market with job seekers and try to steal someone from traffic or try to steal someone from, Fortis or one of these guys? Or do you want to look for the great qualities of the person who could be a good operations manager and structure them and try to help them get to that point? Dispatchers. Get a great person. You don't need a person that has dispatch. I think one of the reasons we were successful is I didn't go and find a guy who had 30 years of dispatching LTL and bring him in. I brought in a person that was great, and I sat with them, taught them my formulas, taught them how to figure stuff out, and taught them how I want my company to run. So one of the other steps that are important was make a decision. Do you want to be part of that cycle that's trying to steal from people? Or do you want to be part of that cycle who are bringing new blood in and teaching and moving the industry forward?
That's huge, And we've been both. We've done everything, after 42 years. And if you bring the right new blood, if you bring somebody in that's phenomenal with numbers, they don't have to have a trucking background, okay, if they know numbers. And I find for operations people, sometimes you will get a phenomenal operations person that doesn't know a truck from a bowling ball, but they're smart. And they've got common sense. and they've got a what I call a logistical mind. And if I ever have the time, I'm going to develop some sort of a test to see who does and who doesn't have a logistical mind, because it would certainly save an awful lot when you're trying to bring on new people that have no experience. Sometimes even, and I've seen seasoned people come into our office that had all sorts of experience, but they were robots. I don't know whether you've had that.
I've had a little bit of that. It's been trial and error, because not everybody's a perfect fit, right? Some people are meant to work at a factory and be a robot, and even sometimes in operations in a factory, the people, we just, you know, they just don't fit in some companies, right? So how do you make that decision to be a good fit for you or a good fit for somebody else, right? It's a tough one. So,
well, it is. It's one of the, you know, that's one of the jobs I gave up a long time ago, and I'm glad I did, because I had some winners, but I had some losers too through the years. And some of the winners that I hire are still with us today, 20 years later. But you know what? I'm not trained in HR. And that's one of the things I think that as small business owners we run into is sometimes we're stressed, you know, we're stretched to the limit. I don't know if you find that, but some of your abilities, like I don't know how much training you've had in human resources.
I need to have more. I did hire a company out of London, HR Covered, to help me with some issues. That's actually something I lack in. I could use a lot more training, a lot more courses in, but it's still kind of see the pants with stuff like that, right? Like we are a family-based business. So there is my son, my wife, my niece, there's Andrew. Then I have Katrina and Eugene doing customs. Katrina is my outbound dispatcher, and Eugene does customs, and they're in Russia.
Yep.
So it's an interesting concept, but being a family business, and when you come to work for Durenco, you become part of the family. I do care about you.
Yes.
I don't want people there just for money. If all you're there for is just for money, you're probably not going to be here very long. There's better places to make more money. You know, you got to be there the whole package. You got to be wanting to serve people and be happy and go lucky. And I always believe that if you do the right thing, the paycheck rates itself.
100%. You know what? You look after your people, they look after you. You know, all these things are very, very true. And you bring on the right people. And, you know, if I get a call at our place from an owner-operator, and the first question is, how much you pay? To end the conversation, because I know that person is only talking, has called us for one reason. He wants more money than where he is now, and he probably won't be happy at our place either. And he won't be happy at any place. And if you looked at how many places that owner-operator has been to, he may have been to five places in a year and a half, and he'll have a story about each one. I'm sure you've gone through the same thing. How's your turnover ratio?
It's not bad. It's higher than I want to be. The last couple of years, I've had probably about 40% turnover. But there's some guys that I've had in that turnover. I've actually fired guys because they don't want to do my maintenance. I'm really strong with my maintenance. That's part of the success as well. Is I decided a long time ago I was having issues. In year two, I started having trouble with CVR stuff and that.
Right.
And I know I ran a safe truck. Never had a ticket. My CVR is clean, the whole nine yards. But I was starting to have issues because we had people who only cared about dollars in their jeans. They didn't understand that business isn't today or what you take home. Business is months, quarters, years. You know, you may lose today, but you gain at the end of the year. So I actually brought in some people to really help me with the insurance and getting things on board. And anything they suggested, I looked at. Sometimes I went overboard. So I had to fire three guys just because of their maintenance. It was always a fight.
Oh, yeah.
We signed our contract saying you'd follow our maintenance. It's not an option. I don't care about the DOT. I guess this is part of the success, though, is I care about the motoring public. I don't care if the DOT gets me with an out-of-brake adjustment. What I care about is running over some family because my brakes were out of adjustment.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So they disagree with my policy. Like, I've got basically a safety every 2 weeks that my mechanic goes through every truck and check. We don't, like, pull wheels and stuff, but we're checking every single item on that thing every 2 weeks while we're greasing
saves
the truck.
Saves you a fortune, I bet, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It costs some money,
yeah,
too. It does cost. But you know what it saves? Durenco, and I'm going to knock on a lot of wood here, we're 5.5 years, no accidents.
God, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That is that's something to be proud of.
One.
Yeah.
We have assured my guys with the storms we're having right now, you're not safe to drive. You don't feel safe to drive. Pull over and park. I'll call the customer. We'll be late. We're going to have some service failures this year because the storms are bad this year.
Oh, my God.
But do the right thing. You know?
Yeah. You don't want to slide down a mountain on Interstate 90 sideways. You just don't need that aggravation. You know,
well, we just had a perfect issue with one of your loads with Michelle. Christmas and New Year's is a big issue. We took it. We told her that the Christmas and New Year's, she was okay with that. Turned out we had problems with clearance. It never cleared, so it didn't get on the truck right after Christmas. Then the following week, it was my dispatcher made a mistake and said, okay, it doesn't need, I don't want to take a driver this way and then back up. She put it on another truck. We found out, got involved, made sure it was on a truck for the new year, send it out with one of my good drivers who've been here since day one, Dan. Lo and behold, guaranteed when you don't do something you're supposed to do, gets worse. He freezes up in Minnesota 2 days. We end up delivering the shipment. We were hoping to be there for Friday. Weren't there for Friday. We ended up being there Monday morning, almost a month to deliver a shipment. That was one of Michelle's shipments. We had a conversation. That's not Durenco. We don't do that. We stood behind it. You know what? People say we got bills to pay. Well, so do customers and so does everyone else. I stand behind what I say and the way I believe my service, and that shipment was free. We did not charge anyone for that shipment. We were wrong. We screwed up. Appreciative of the support I have from traffics and their people, but I had made that decision on Friday that it wasn't going to be. We were given that 100% free. The customer should pay for that kind of service. That's absolutely horrible. Now, a lot of things were out of my control, and
right.
I can sit here and make an argument with you guys. Sorry?
Yeah.
I can make an argument with you. Yeah. To why you should still pay me. And I probably would be right. But personally, I know I dropped the ball first. Yes, we picked it up. It didn't clear. That's a customs issue. But then we dropped the ball when it didn't go on the truck when it was supposed to. So the fact that everyone got their product, everybody was happy, I made a choice. And there's a lot of people, and I've heard it, the lunch counters, and so have you, that, wow, they should pay anyways. You know what? You got to do the right thing. You know, they're paying us for a service.
Yep, 100%. You know, I have I've got a saying. If you have to make a choice between being right and being kind, be kind.
Correct.
And you were kind, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, you know, that's why you're so successful. Now, I got to get into something else for our audience. So your pickups, so you get to Seattle, Washington, and Tacoma area. You unload at a dock. I would imagine if you've got a large shipment of 10 or 12 pallets that weigh 20,000 pounds, that those you deliver right off the back of your truck with your driver, correct? Or do you use a service?
Correct. So we load the trailer by weight, of course, and by space. So it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And throughout the trailer. We go to our dock, we drop. Now, our agents do all the small stuff, like the two skids, the one skid,
right.
The 20 box of chairs. My guys do the 10, 12, 15 skids, or the outlying areas. We have a, you know, if you look at Seattle, I'll send my agent from Auburn or to Kent to Auburn to Fife to Seattle to Bellevue. I keep it tight. My guys will do the Everett's, the Snohomish, the Mount Vernon's, the Bellinghams, the Olympias, you know, the outer areas. So they have less shipments on the truck, but they're doing the outer areas that would cost a fortune. And it's coming down to the skill of communication and talking and making sure you can put the volume in. Like when I first started with some of my agents, there was no volume, but I promised them that there would be volume. Now that we're 5 years in, they're getting volume, but they're quite happy. You know, at the start, they're like, I don't know if these rates are going to work, Daryl. You know, just trust me. I will work it up, and I'll work it up, and I'll work it up. We have trucks now that go there, and everything's in the Seattle area, like I-90, I-5, 167.
Right.
It's real close. It's drop the whole trailer. Go to the truck stop. Go to the hotel for a day. You know.
Well, that's perfect. That's a driver's dream.
Right, but they've got to share, right? Because I pay percentage. So on my owner operators, I pay a percentage. So they've got a cost. But like I try to explain to them, can you run one skid from Kent to Tukula for $35? If you can, you need to show me the math you're using and the type of truck that you have, because I'm going to go buy a million of them right now. You know, my rates are actually cheaper for the agent to deliver than for us to run a truck all over Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
That took a lot of time to build.
He's consolidating a bunch of parcels around the SeaTac area. So that makes perfect sense. Let me ask you, when your driver gets to Seattle, Washington, and he goes into your agent, is your agent reworking those loads for you? And offloading and putting everything on that's going into the Seattle, or do you do that at your dock in Ontario?
Some do, some don't. So in Montana, they do the work. Portland, they do the work.
Right.
In Kent, I'm actually renting the warehouse and splitting the cost with my agent. So it's my warehouse. My guys got 24/7, so they got washroom, they got a stove, fridge. You know, they got somewhere to park because parking out there is pretty killer. And
my guys are
trained on the forklift, so my guys are actually unloading the trailers and putting the freight on the dock. And then my agent takes it from my area and puts it in his trailers.
Okay. And will your guys, like, rework the load so that they can take all the deliveries that are going, like, all the way up to Bellingham in order? Do they do that?
100%.
That's when
they do that as well, and they put their trailer in order. So each driver works his trailer. We've already determined before they leave what drops are going to the agent, which ones aren't, and appointments and stuff. So it's a well laid out plan. It's not for everybody. We're actually in that discussion. That's my next step, because some guys don't want to run a forklift when they get out there.
Right.
So now we're having the discussion, okay, how can I utilize someone in Kent so I can send more trucks out there, take a little pressure off all my other guys that have been here all along, and have someone do it for me? It's my next challenge, right, is I have to expand. I've used agents to my maximum, and now it's looking like there may be some issues of I have to set up shop.
That's going to all of a sudden... you've got a set cost, you know, you've got to pay somebody 40 hours and with your schedule, maybe have staff 80 hours a week at that location.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, you're a numbers guy. I knew that first time you and I ever spoke. So you'll find out right away. And that's, you know, again, going back, that's another reason for your success. You know your numbers.
I try to. The system I have now is not as cooperative as my older systems, but we do know our numbers. And there's a time where you get to be, I'm going to stay at this size or I'm going to grow. And I want to grow and I want to work with all my partners. So the thing is, when I get to that level, that's when I can offer all my customers inside delivery. I can offer doing everything. You know, Polaris does basically the same thing I do. They do Freight Force, which is around the corner. And it's funny because I deliver freight to Freight Force for Polaris. You know,
right.
They've got a great system. But what I also did over the last 20-some-odd years is I've looked on the dock on how these little cartage companies destroy product and how much claims they are. Our claim ratio is less than 5% overall in 5 years for actual shipments to claims. We're at $11,500 total claim dollars.
Oh my God.
Everything I've paid out since I started. You know, we're very careful. I want people that handle the freight properly. So if I was to go and get into the Freight Force network, my claims are going to go.
Right.
And then I'm going to lose business over it. How do I serve my customers without starting my own warehouse, without having my own terminal? Or you can ask yourself, okay, if I start my own terminal, how can I serve my customers better? How can I help out Traffix? How can I help out Traffic Tech? How can I help out C.H. Robinson? Because now I have an American in an American location. Now I can be picking up my freight, but he can also pick up freight for Traffix, for example, that has 5 skids going to Georgia, and I can hold it on my dock, and I can start
right.
my revenue stream.
You know what? You can start building very easily loads going from SeaTac area all the way down to, up and down Interstate 5.
I've actually got my thoughts
all the
way
to San Diego. Why don't you make that, and you do what you want. You know your business better than I do.
Yeah.
Or this part of it. Why don't you keep things really tight? And you've got the population base in California. You know, California, if I'm not mistaken, is the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, people make fun of California, the left coast and all the rest of it. And you hear the stories. Our friend that comes on once a month or so, Hank Seaton, is from Nashville. The last time I spoke to Hank, God bless him, he said, well, we're glad to see all these people from California come to the city of Nashville. But they shouldn't let them vote for 7 years. you get all this stuff. But really, the people are leaving California because they don't like the politics. So I think they'll vote alongside everybody else in the volunteer state. But I don't know if I was doing this. I think you've already got a great base right in Seattle. You know all the brokers out there because I'm sure they all call you to load any freight they have for Canada. I would just go from Seattle down to California to Seattle, and there'll be stuff that'll dribble off. It'll be good for your trucks going back to Ontario somewhere. You could have a lot of fun with that.
100%. It's just getting it set up, understanding the market. I actually have an American working for me now, and we're talking about him actually staying out there and doing it for a little bit. We're just trying to figure out money-wise. Because I told him I'd be fair with him and make sure it was worth it to him. But I need to figure out the hours that's involved with doing that kind of stuff. So I have we're just working it all out. But the biggest thing is making sure I don't bite off more than I can chew. You know, I still remember
100%.
What he asked me in our meeting in Iowa. And, I wrote it down here. What are you going to do if you only have 5 skids to go to Seattle, Daryl? Because we were talking about everything, and I hadn't showed you my numbers yet. And my answer was, go to Seattle with 5 skids. And I literally had to do that.
I know
that. It's funny. And I've actually made money at doing that. And that's the questions I'm asking myself about the next step. You know, if I decide to do this, I got to start doing the tri-hauls. I've been watching the U.S. market. wish I could get more information from that, but they won't give me a subscription. They said it wasn't worthwhile because they're hooked up with LoadLink. I want to make a tri-haul. I think a great tri-haul would be from BC to Georgia, back up to Ontario, and I could actually take the freight out of BC, drop it down to Seattle, drop it on my dock, pick up freight for Ontario and come home. But I could have my U.S. counterparts pick it up in Seattle with Seattle freight, go to Georgia. Then I could have my guys come down from Ontario to Georgia and take a freight from Georgia to BC.
You know where you get – I have to warn you. I know, but there's a bear trap here, okay? And the bear trap, because I've lived through this one. You know, when you get to be as old as me and you've been in the business for 47 years, if you haven't seen it, you've done it. Doing something similar to this one, so I got in real trouble because what ate me up was the exchange rate. And where you get killed is when you start hauling freight that pays you in Canadian dollars, even on LTL, and you've got to pay out in U.S. dollars. So if any portion of your overhead is in U.S. dollars, that's where you get into trouble. You've got to just remember that. So you've got to make sure you've got enough revenue to cover that downside with the Canadian dollar.
Well, and the other downside is I got to make sure that the staff and the people doing it understand that Canadian freight goes on a Canadian truck and U.S. freight goes on a U.S.
Right.
truck. Because there's some other companies that have tried this, got caught, and lost big time
yes.
as a fine to the interstate. We don't want interstate.
Oh, yeah.
But it's being able to make that network, right? Like, because it's my terminal, and I'm trying to look into the free trade zones because I can actually make my terminal free trade zone. That means freight can come down from BC, unload onto my dock. I can be bringing freight from Alberta to Seattle, unload my dock. Then I can load it into a Canadian truck and send it to Georgia because I'm initialized in Canada, so I can take it to Atlanta, right? So there's all those moving wheels that have to be 100% right, because if they're not, just like you said, you're going to lose your shirt. You're going to be paying out U.S. dollars at 38%. I don't know freight that has ever paid enough to pay out an extra 38%.
You better be hauling vaccines, buddy. Because, you know, you'll get killed. Now, let me add, I'm curious, and this is just one subject. I know you're good on maintenance and you watch your costs. What is Durenco doing these days on tires? Are you using recaps or are you buying everything brand new, first in play?
Recaps are an option as long as they're reduced. So I've played a ton of games of tires, and I went with Cal Tire that gave me a U.S. counterpart. We're just trying to get the U.S. Side of it set up. It takes a little longer than the side up. But we have our premium tire that I'd like. We have our second tire. Then we have our recaps for the tractors. But if the recap goes on one of our trucks, it has to be a virgin. And anything that comes off our truck is automatically retreaded, and we're going to our trailers with the retreads.
Right. Okay. And what is your favorite brand that you're finding works for you these days? I know things change all the time because tire companies change compounds and stuff.
We're using BF Goodrich. We're pretty happy with that. And we're using the Bangbed retreads. I'm not going to screw around with trying to get a cheaper one. Bangbed has the best retread out there, and they have the best process. And Cal Tire's process is pretty awesome. They really x-ray the tire on all sides to make sure there's no issues.
Yeah, you know what? I know who Cal Tire is, obviously, and I know that Band-Aid has been around for as long as I can remember. And it's only... We tried recaps for the first time over 20 years ago, and I was really reluctant at the time. And I tried them, and you know what? They saved us a lot of money.
They can, if you monitor your tire pressure. If you start running a recap like guys do with virgins, you're going to have a lot of damage. You really got to know your stuff about tires, tire pressure, what causes a tire to heat up, what doesn't heat up. You know, there's there's so much I learned from Kevin Rutherford's show from, I forget the, I think his first name's Harvey from the Tire, Region
yes.
Tire Council. I've listened to a ton of his shows, and I took his information and looked at it, and researched it, and we try it. Like, I run all my tires at 110, and I have people saying, no, I'm running them too hard. I'm not. It says sidewall flex,
you know,
I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah, Harvey was incredible. He was actually one of the inventors of recap tires.
Cool. I did not know that.
I don't know if you're... Yeah, amazing guy. I never saw him at Kevin's. Remember, I spent a lot of time at Kevin's out mentoring guys, and I didn't get a chance to hear the lectures that you guys did. I didn't get any of the education. But I listened to him quite often on Sirius XM, and it just blew me away how much this guy knew. But he wrote the book on
it. I noticed we're getting pretty close to the end of the hour, so I wanted to say one of the other things that I think helped my success and build my path, and I'd like to say this to everyone else. Two things. Cash over loans, and don't have the fanciest truck on the fleet. My first truck that I started this company with, I bought for 10 grand and did all the work myself, put $7,900 into it. Cheap but safe. If you want to be successful, you have to understand and make room for mistakes, because I have made a lot of mistakes in the last 5 years. I've been lucky because I didn't, if I had that goal, I didn't have a big payment. Now I'm starting to get payments. We're, you know, we bought 3 new trucks this week, 4 new trailers. But when you start, if you want to do this, some of those decisions that I made earlier on, that had a lot to do with it too. Cash over loan, have it. Cash. Maybe have a small truck. Might not be that big fancy Peterbilt, and I'm a W900 guy, and I was driving a little 630 Volvo back and forth with the 355 motor in it, going up the same hills at 21 mile an hour, sometimes 18 mile an hour, where all the big trucks were screaming by me. But keep saying to guys, look at me now.
Yep. And you see them? It's funny. All those guys that go screaming by you in the long nose Peaks and Kenworths with 600 horsepower and, you know, all the chrome and everything else, you always meet them at the truck stop when you get there. They're always there. So they got
always
there 5 minutes before you. Big deal. How much more fuel did they use than you? You know, thousands of dollars a year extra for bragging rights. That's
yes,
pretty expensive.
Sir.
You know what? I appreciate the look of a nice, shiny truck that's all chromed out and, you know, is glistening. And we have some owner-operators who have equipment like that, and they take a lot of pride in it. And kudos to them. But for the most part, our guys have plain Jane trucks. And they're safe, but they're plain. There's nothing fancy about them. And they make money on them. You know, they're simple trucks that, you know, they deliver 7 and 8 miles per gallon. Because they're spec'd out right. You know, we have a friend, and she's got a couple of Macs, the new ones. I forget what they call that. But, you know, it's got the
Anthem.
Big bunk on it. Yeah, the Anthem. She's got two of them now. And she was telling me that on light loads, she has no problem getting 9-10 miles per gallon. And she does a lot of bobtailing because she's on a power-only run for a company in the U.S., she's getting 13 miles per gallon. That's incredible.
Sweet. It
yeah.
is.
So
it's amazing.
Now, is that what you bought again, Anthems?
I have 3 Anthems, but I went to the Volvos because it's a little wider and they're a little better set up with the tables for my guys doing long haul. The Anthem is a nice truck, but the bunk is still an old-fashioned Mack bunk. It's not very driver-friendly, so I've gone back to Volvos because I like the table. I like this. My guy's eating out of the truck, trying to get them to be healthier and teach them to be healthier. Try to teach them actually the keto diet because, you know, I care about my guys. So you got to give
them
the tools to do it, right?
Yep, 100%. Careful what you say about the Mack trucks being, you know, old-fashioned small bunks. I'm a guy that started out driving a truck with a 36-inch sleeper and I had to take my pants off at night lying down. I'm not joking. That was a small bunch.
Well, remember, I had my 87 cab over that. I ran the West Coast, right? So single bunk cab over. I had great, and I got the team in it. It was an experience. I got to feel like what you went through. I'm spoiled with the trucks we have. I've been spoiled in my career. I really have. You guys were the real truckers. You really were.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, that era has passed. And, you know, I think today's trucker has the reason people don't want to be in this industry or don't want to stay in this industry is because of all the mistreatment. You know, when you go to a shipper or receiver or being tied up in traffic. You know,
I think that's driver related, though. I really do think it's driver related because, you know, we're hauling a lot of shipments. You know, we're talking 300 shipments a week with our trucks with LTL.
Right.
Maybe I'm just lucky to have great customers. We processes, policies, figuring out problems of calling ahead, making sure you're booked, updating customers. But we actually have customers who refuse to accept their freight if it's not on a Durenco truck. And it's not my customer. They're telling the broker and the shipper, you either use Durenco or don't send me the freight. So
wow. How
come my guys are getting those compliments of that? Compared to other people?
You know what? Well, because you're good, number one. You know, you do a great job. And the other reason, too, in all fairness, to be fair, you get more of an express-type service when you're delivering 5 or 10 skids than you do a truckload. For some reason, when you're delivering or picking up a truckload, some shippers feel they owe you. They own you. And they take an awful long time to load or unload you. You know, we see it all the time, where quite often, if you've got 5 skids, there's all sorts of companies that if you've got 5 skids or 7 skids, they have an express store. They want you in and out quickly. Just get out of here.
Right.
We'll take your stuff. 7 skids doesn't take that long, so they'll keep, you know, a large distribution center making 2 or 3 doors open for their LTL carriers because they know that, especially in the U.S. where things are a little bit more militant, they know darn well if they keep a YRC guy there or an ABF, and I'm just making those, you know, there for a long period of time, they're going to get a call from the terminal manager and who will say, do that again, and we're not delivering to your place. And they have enough clout, they won't deliver that.
Yeah. And they also charge
so,
after
so
15 minutes. Since 15 minutes
exactly.
Got by, they're charging. Yeah.
Right. And I
do think it's attitude, too. We have a couple of distribution places that we do some full loads that we bring back once in a while. And when we first went in there, it wasn't pretty. But attitude, again, we've got great relationships. We show up, we start joking and hanging around. And I find the supervisor is usually yelling at a guy to get the truck loaded because he knows we're going for supper afterwards because we've had a long day and we're stopping at Juba's to have supper. And he's going to stop by to have supper and shoot the shit with us. Once again, it's how you treat people. If you treat
also
people with respect,
100%.
Sorry.
Yeah, you get it back.
Well,
you know what?
I made it back in, gentlemen, right at the end. And looking at the time, I want to give Daryl the opportunity, if you want, to share your social media information, how people may be able to follow up and get in contact with him or pick his brain anymore if he. So desire to take on more students. So now the floor is yours if you want to give your information out.
All righty. Thank you, Zrico. I'll help anyone I can help. You can reach me at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, at Durenco, which is D-A-R-U-N-C-O, specialized.com. Our phone number is 705-214-9659. I'm on Instagram, but I can't remember my Instagram patch. So if you probably look up Durenco Specialized, you can probably find me on Instagram and Facebook. But I just want to say, guys, thank you. You've made me feel like $1 million. I really, really honored to be on your show and to have you think of me.
We're honored to have you on, man. You are a real true life success. You really are. A real Horatio Alger story. It's wonderful.
And Darrell, I'll be following up with you this week, God willing. I had a lot of stuff going on, but I'll be definitely reaching out to you, trying to see where you got some free time. I got some stuff that I need to go over with you. Chuck, you up, my friend? Let people know how they can get in contact with you, and we'll get ready to bag this thing into a hole.
Okay. If anybody wants to call me, my extension is 203. Phone number is 1-800-388-4352. Again, extension 203. Or you can shoot me an email. Chuck@traffix.com, or you can send me a private message on Instagram at Chuck Snow CEO. If I can help any of our listeners get set up with Traffix or navigate any of the difficulties in their business, give me a call. I'm glad to help out. And with that, Rico, I'll let you back in the hole for another week.
Well, for my guests, Darrell Rutherford and my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow, we are always grateful that you guys took a little time to hang out with us, whether you're listening to us live or listening to a download. We are always eternally grateful for you doing so. Stay safe out there, everyone. Stay healthy. Keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, and God willing, we'll talk at the same time, same place next week. God bless you and good night.
Catch you on the flip-flop. God bless. Good night.